We're talking about racism as a public health issue. A current report from UW Population of Health Institute shows health inequities are rooted in racism. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. More than 40 groups have signed onto a resolution that acknowledges racism as a public health crisis. We're talking about how to talk about it and what we can do to lessen disparities in our state. Join the conversation. What do you think? What have you seen as far as racism affecting people's lives? Do you believe that it's a public health crisis? Or what questions do you have about that kind of a declaration? You can give us a call. Email ideas@WPR.org or use the phone at 800-642-1234. Our guest is Pam Goodman. She's a clinical assistant professor in the College of Nursing and Sciences at UW-Eau Claire. And Pam is part of a statewide effort that resulted in the Wisconsin Public Health Association declaring that racism is a public health crisis here. Pam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you.
How can we say that racism is a public health crisis? What dots do we need to connect to recognize that that's just true?
Well, you know, the social constructs of looking at what we call the determinants of health are really a huge part of racism. When we talk about this from a population health perspective, we're looking at how do communities of color, ethnicities, where are they located, such as in housing? What has been the opportunities for education? What about transportation? What about equitable opportunities to live in neighborhoods that are safe and provide the best opportunities for everyone to be able to maximize their optimal health and well-being and contribute back to society? This is oftentimes difficult to talk about, and especially when we use the word racism, a lot of people really have some challenges in thinking about, well, you know, what about my own personal situations, or how does that relate to what I believe in, or how does that relate to my own ability to obtain health? But when you start to pull apart the issues around racism, we can recognize that it has a lot to do with power and the social constructs that we have in our society today. And that really affects health, because if you're not able to have these things as part of your own life and well-being, your health starts to suffer, especially over many decades and time that goes on. But we're seeing those effects today.
And there is certainly the conversation about opportunity that goes in so many directions. One thing we do know, though, is that when people experience these, the lower end of disparities or inequities, someone's physical health changes simply because of the stress.
Absolutely. And we see this, you know, in our, especially our African-American birth outcomes. Our infant mortality rates are horrible with our African-American babies. The ratio is, you know, twice the amount for those who have been that are born premature with our African-American babies. We see these disparities, especially so for African-Americans and other minorities in regard to the effect of obesity, cardiovascular disease, strokes, diabetes, and those equitable opportunities are not available because they haven't had as much of the ability to have equitable options, I should say, or opportunities where they can, you know, get to the healthcare that they need. And over time, as you mentioned, the stress that is involved as there is less opportunity for them to be able to have enough equitable opportunity for their housing, that adds up being very stressful. And we see this in the long-term outcomes.
Pam Goodman holds a doctorate of nursing practice, and we're talking with her about how racism is a public health problem. You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you part of this initiative? Do you see this happening in your communities? What makes you think that the state needs to address this issue? Or do you think that it should be on the individual to somehow figure out how to make this public health crisis better? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also always email us at ideas@wpr.org. Pam, let's springboard off of what you were just talking about. We have, higher death rates for African Americans and Native Americans at all stages of life in Wisconsin compared to other ethnicities. How do inequalities and disparities specifically factor into that? It's baked into our system.
It is baked into our system, and we have to disentangle all of that power, because when we have our system set up so that there are disadvantages for certain parts of our population, there is just little opportunity for them to be able to reach for that highest level of health. And so when we start to disentangle this, and from a statewide perspective, we have to do this. We have to do this for all communities, because when all of us are much healthier, we all are able to obtain a better, equitable way to also give back to our communities. So when you asked whether or not if I'm part of this statewide initiative, I am. And part of the task force that I have been on is about how do we talk about racism, and can we develop the language and the narrative about how we talk about racism? And, you know, I'm a low middle class woman, middle aged, and, you know, these are things that I am really working hard so that I can have better discussions. But I have to say that from a rural perspective, I have witnessed this with my own eyes. I'm a public health nurse. I like to be out in the field. I'm out in the communities. I've worked many, many years with people on the ground. And when you see what happens to people because of the stress that they have endured time and time and time again, and you recognize the inequities, it is time for us to do something at all levels, whether that's at an individual level, joining, being willing to listen to people who have experienced these types of disparities, also joining task forces, and just really understanding that we are all in this together. It's just really so very important.
I think it's striking, though, that not only do we see racism affecting people's emotional health, but it affects their physical health. Just years of suppression, something like feeling that leading to higher levels of hypertension. And then if you're having a baby, the likelihood of premature birth increases. I mean, there are real physical issues that come out of this.
Absolutely. And I think when we first started, I mentioned that our African-American babies have the highest percentage of preterm births at about 11.1%. That's twice the amount for us as whites. Also, for the national infant mortality rates in our Native Americans and Alaskan Natives, they have a 60% higher infant mortality rate than whites, and that's 2014 data. So we know that these types of challenges occur for our health outcomes, and in addition to our mental health. The MMWR, which is out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in 2017 noted that the health status for the quality of life is that's fair or poor is at 28.8% for blacks versus 18.5% for whites.
Yeah, so you can hear that difference. Pam, I want to jump in here. We're talking about racism as a public health problem with Pam Goodman. You're part of this conversation. Maybe you work in healthcare. What do you see as far as inequities and disparities and how that affects families' health? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and our conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Health professionals acknowledge that housing, transportation, and education are all factors that affect a person's well-being. So when people are at a disadvantage in those areas, their health suffers. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we want to hear from you. Do you work in healthcare, or do you see people being affected by racism? What do you consider the root causes of this inequity that we have across races when it comes to health and wellness? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Maybe you see solutions to some of the challenges that we have in even starting the discussion about racism as a public health crisis. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest is Pam Goodman. She holds a doctorate of nursing practice, and she's also a clinical assistant professor in nursing at UW Eau Claire. Pam, let's talk a little bit more about your personal connection to this. We've seen 40 different organizations sign on to the declaration that racism is a public health crisis. You've also signed on personally. And why did you make that distinction?
Well, I have primarily focused for nearly 30 years of my nursing career in public health. And I signed on personally because I understand as best as I can from a rural inequity perspective. And rural inequities, and for those who are of minority African-American that also are rural, the disparities for health outcomes is even worse. And so when I obtained my doctorate degree from the University of Minnesota, a lot of my training and education was along these similar lines around those determinants of health that you just mentioned. And I joined a health equity narrative work group, which is one of the three factors that we are working on to try to advance health equity in the state of Wisconsin. So when I looked at the declaration that the Wisconsin Public Health Association, which I'm also a member of, had put together, it identified everything that I have learned. It's also very personal to me as having been an advocate for rural populations for the last 3+ decades. And so that's part of the reason of why I joined on. Plus, in addition, you can see that the challenges are increasingly worsening when we are not addressing these particular issues in healthcare.
How should we think about the nexus between the issues that face people in rural areas of the state and racism? We know that many of Wisconsin's minority populations are condensed in bigger cities.
Right, but the when you really start to pull apart the issue around racism and you start to understand the significance of power, and for those who haven't had the ability to have their voice heard, to be listened to, we start to understand that there are extreme similarities to this power that has been centered around white privilege, and primarily more of those who have a lot of wealth and power in powerful positions that really haven't been encompassing of the voices that need to be heard. And I think about this from a previous administrator experience that I had as a community action agency director. And this is something that community action agencies, anti-poverty organizations really try very hard to help provide equitable and also the opportunity for people who have had suppressed voices to really have them be part of the conversation, to really take hold of the power themselves, and to empower them to become part of the solution to really change the narrative and to change the outcomes that we so desperately need in our state and across our country.
Pam Goodman is a population health nurse educator, and she teaches at UW Eau Claire. And there's room for you in our discussion about racism as a public health crisis. Have you experienced health inequities? How do you see that your opportunities are different than those of other people? Do you consider yourself part of a minority population? What do you want other people to know? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. And we have Tom from Burlington on the line as part of this discussion. Tom, thanks for your call.
The hidden cost of racism is poor people have a poor diet. They can't get access to good food. they can't get access to good jobs either. We didn't build a light rail system in Milwaukee to get people to the suburbs, because it's really racism that holds them back and surrounds them. In the poorer districts of the city, people substitute bad food for good food. We don't have the supermarkets there that are going to give them good food, and this costs us. The bad diet costs us, they say, $1 trillion a year. It's a hidden cost that people aren't aware of, and it's just so sad that we have this secret racism that is built around everything economically. And I don't know how to really get over it if we could just maybe improve our school.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tom, for that call. Pam, Tom hits on a lot of different points, talked about transportation, access to food, and how that, substituting lower cost foods, lower quality foods can change people's health, too. And I mean, it's a really complicated system. How do we even begin to wrap our minds around it?
Thank you, Tom, for your call. And you did hit the nail right on the head. And I appreciate all of those factors of health that you brought up. How do we really have these conversations, and how do we extrapolate the power that's involved? And that is, again, is part of the narrative network that task force that I'm on. And, you know, I think that just as Tom identified, we have to have these discussions. We have to be challenged. And again, I brought up listening, active listening as a nurse. I've been trained for many years, and I'm now currently training our new nurses to really stop talking and to listen, actively listen, to understand what it is to have less opportunities. We talked about food deserts, as Tom brought up, as well as transportation issues. Those voices haven't been heard. We haven't provided or haven't allowed that power to listen and to make active changes so that we can make differences for overall health outcomes. When we talk about food deserts, as Tom referenced, what happens is that, you know, you're working 2-3 jobs if you're able to access a job that you can get to, and if there's, you know, adequate financing coming in so that a person can get to that job. And when you have food deserts, you are relying on the fast food industry that is centered in many of our areas of low income, both in low income areas such as in inner city Milwaukee, but also low income areas in rural northwestern Wisconsin. So you grab, you know, a fast food meal that costs less money. And Tom is right. Those health outcomes are poor. We see that in the diabetes and also in our high stroke and our high cardiovascular disease rates that disproportionately affect people of color and negatively affect their overall health outcomes. And, you know, why should we be concerned about this? Well, it doesn't make economic sense, as in CENTS or in regular sense, SENSE, that we're not really looking at this from a perspective that allows everyone to get to the highest level of health and their overall well-being. Because when you feel good, when you're able to physically and mentally contribute back to the society, you help produce a much better, well-robusted economic entity. And that's needed for the state of Wisconsin as well as our entire nation.
Pam, we acknowledge that the data proves that there are disparities between white Wisconsinites and people of color. Emmanuel in Strawberry Point, Iowa, emailed to say, though, what am I supposed to do as a white person to help people you seem to be saying aren't really different from me after all? So having trouble understanding, you know, whether we have the same opportunities or we don't, and how we work together there. What do you think?
Well, again, I would say that being willing to listen, being willing to reach out, find organizations, look at this declaration that the Wisconsin Public Health Association has identified, read, have conversations with neighbors. Let's talk about this and not be fearful or not be afraid to open up those conversations. And again, to have that active listening, to understand what it is like to not have the same opportunities to achieve the highest level of health and well-being. When I look at, again, the African-American percentages for leisure time physical activity in the past month, it's different at 38.2% that they've not had that ability versus whites at 27.7%. And so what does that mean? Can we be involved? Can we make a difference somehow in our own communities? Can we open up this conversation? Are you on a board of some type? Are you, you know, attending school board meetings? Are you part of the policy discussions that are going on? And just open up to have conversations, at least to get more of this out on the table, and then really commit to action.
All right. I appreciate you going into all of those areas to help us understand how we might be able to try to make a difference here. Pam, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and for the conversation.
Pam Goodman is a clinical assistant professor in the College of Nursing and Sciences at UW-Eau Claire. She holds a doctorate in nursing practice, and we've been talking about how racism is a public health problem. Up next, we're looking at Wisconsin's school safety plans and guidelines intended to protect students and staff. Our guest explains how schools are using new funds to handle active shooter situations. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Morning Show.